will rise up as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we bless your name for bringing us to our Bible study tonight. And we're asking the impact of your word will transform every life in Jesus' name. We know that through this word, we have faith. And that faith gets us saved. The faith that gets us sanctified. And the faith that gets us walking in the way of the Lord. The faith that prepares us for the coming of the Lord. And we pray tonight, you'll prepare every one of us for your coming in Jesus' name. That we'll not be hearers of the word only, but the grace and the strength and the power that comes through believing the word. We pray, O Lord, will see us through. Make us resist temptation. Make us live the victorious life. And make us rapture ready. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. I welcome every one of you to the Bible study tonight. We're still in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're looking at verses 20, 21, and 22. You must realize, as you think of the verses we're reading, because there may be people that will think just three verses of scripture, need to understand that the history or the story of these great men of God, the patriarchs in particular, like we're reading about Isaac and about Jacob and about Joseph. These are many chapters in the record of the word of God, that is in Genesis. And so compressing the life and the deeds, the character, the characteristics, the faith and the faithfulness of these people of God that were recorded in so many chapters of Genesis, compressing them into one verse of scripture is much. And so it's not just a little thing we're studying. We're studying the lives of these people, how they lived and how they died, how they walked with God, how they listened to God, how they were obedient to the Lord, and what was the result of their life of faith. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 20. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, that is when he was about to die, the process of dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. In verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, when he was dying, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. The reason why we're studying these verses of scripture, and the reason why we're studying the chapter itself, and the reason why we're studying any part of the Bible at all, is so that we'll see the good examples of these people that follow the Lord. And then we'll look at their faith, understand their faith, and live by the same kind of faith they lived in. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. It says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them. Followers of them, of the people of the old covenant, and of the people of the new covenant. Followers of them, the patriarchs and the prophets and the people of God, in those good old days, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And as you think about the people we're studying today, through faith and patience, patiently following after the Lord, they inherited the promises. It tells us also in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That is, we have been given the promises of God. Like the children of Israel were given the promised land, the promise that they will enter in. But many of them did not enter in. But why? Look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not be mixed with faith in them that heard it. So then, as we hear the word of God, study the word of God together, want to be very sure that this word mixes with faith in our hearts, so that we will profit by the word. And I pray that every one of us will profit by the word we're studying today in Jesus' name. The text we're looking at today deals with three men. That is Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. These three men are frequently mentioned in Scripture, and they are favorably mentioned too in Scripture. In fact, as we come to the New Testament, it mentions them frequently and favorably. Their faith, especially at the hour of death, is presented to us as a model, as a pattern, as an example for us to follow. They had believed God in their lives, that is the God of Abraham. And then from childhood, they had walked with this God through many tests and troubles and trials. They walked by faith, and they all exhibited strong faith in God at the end of their earthly pilgrimage. Please understand, when we're talking about their faith, faith at the point of dying, because they had faith at the time they were living. If you didn't have faith in life, you don't have faith at the point of dying. If you didn't walk by faith on earth when you were still alive, how could you manifest faith at the point you're dying? And we're getting nearer and nearer to the close of our lives. You're one day today nearer the end than you were yesterday. You're one year today nearer the end of your life than you were many years, a year ago. And that means then, if you're going to manifest the faith of these men, of Isaac, of Jacob, and of Joseph that we're studying today, you will have to live by faith, so that when it comes to the time of the end, you will end by faith, and then you'll be able to get into glory in Jesus' name. These are people that exhibited strong faith in God at the beginning of their lives and all through their pilgrimages, and then at the end of their earthly pilgrimage too. At the end of life, each of these men, the greatest sinner, each one passed on to their children is the promise of God, not material things. But as you look at these men, you'll find that something very significant and important you need to learn about them is the presence of God with them. As we look at Genesis chapter 26, and we're reading there from verses 3 and 4, you will see what the Lord said about Isaac, or what he said unto Isaac, that the presence of the Lord will be with him. So then, if you have faith in God, obviously you'll have the presence of the Lord with you. If the presence of the Lord is with you, you must have made contact with God, and you must be related to God. It is that relationship that brings the presence of the Lord. Genesis chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. The Lord was talking to Isaac, says, sojourn in this land, I will be with you, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You notice in verse 3, when the Lord said unto him, sojourn in this land, I will be with thee. The presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. As you come to the next person we're studying today, that is, you are coming to Jacob, you'll find in chapter 28, reading there again what the Lord told him in verse 15. Chapter 28, verse 15. Genesis 28, verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Again, we find that what the Lord promised to Jacob is that My presence will be with you. I will be with you. For Isaac, I'm with you. I'll be with you. For Jacob, I'm with you. I'll be with you. We come now to the third person, that is Joseph. You'll find it's the same thing the Lord promised in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, here we're looking at verse 2. The blessed presence of the Lord with this man. And that's the reason they lived the victorious life. That's the reason they walked the way they walked. And that's the reason they died peacefully and hopefully as they did. We're looking at Genesis chapter 39. I'm reading from verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptians, with him. And you find that with these three people, the Lord was with them. And when the Lord was with you, all the things you need, spiritually, materially, and in every way, all things are supplied unto you. And for us today, it's not just really about them. The question is the Lord with you? And can you say every moment of the day and every time that the Lord is with you? Because that is the secret of living a victorious life, a triumphant life, a transformed life, a life that is pleasing, you know, unto the Lord. But the question is the Lord just with everybody? Everybody, whether they are saved or not, whether they are born again or not, can we say the Lord is with everybody? Can somebody, I know the Lord is with me? It's not just what we say, it's what the scripture says. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. There's a condition if the Lord is going to be with us. There's an experience if the Lord is going to be with us. And there is the progressive experiences we're having with the Lord. If the Lord is going to be with us, in Isaiah chapter 59, I'm reading from verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Stop right there for a moment. We know that when somebody is still a sinner, not born again, he has not repented, the presence of the Lord is not with him. Whatever he professes, whatever he says, whatever he sings, and whatever emotion he may exhibit, the presence of the Lord is not with the sinner. In fact, the New Testament says they are without God, without Christ, without hope in this world, and without hope in the life to come. It says your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. There must be something then that will happen if you're going to begin to experience the presence of the Lord, like Isaac, like Jacob, like Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, reading from verse 21 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall do what? He shall save his people from their sins. That's when the presence of God begins in our lives. That's not the place it is, but that's where it begins. It says, and he shall call, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In verse 22 now, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth his son, and I shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When you know Jesus as your Savior, when you turn away from sin, and then you have that experience of conversion, you become a child of God. Then he says, I am with you, because now he is Emmanuel to you. He has saved you. He has changed your life. He has turned your life around. And you can say, I was once a sinner, but now I am saved. Once I was blind, now I can see. Once I was living my life independent of Christ, independent of God, but now I am forgiven. I am free. I am saved. That's when the presence of God begins in us and with us. But it goes beyond that. Look at Matthew chapter 5. And I'm reading from verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You move forward and you become sanctified. Because now as you are pure in heart, you have been saved, so the presence of God began. Partnership with God began. The divine human relationship began at the time of regeneration. At the time of salvation, at the time you are born again, Emmanuel, God with us. He has saved us from our sins. But then you move forward, he purifies your heart. He makes your heart holy. He sanctifies you. And you have more of the presence of the Lord. But it's not just limited to that. Look at John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 17. John chapter 14, there are degrees of the presence of God. How you sense that presence, how you know that presence, how you experience that presence, how in a practical, pragmatic way, that presence of the Lord is with you. It tells us in John chapter 14, verse 17, you see what Jesus Christ himself said, when he said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, that's it, the world, those who are not born again, those who are still worldly, they cannot receive, they cannot have, they cannot experience the presence of God, or the presence of the Lord, or the presence of the Spirit of God. It says the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. He dwelleth with you. You are saved, he dwelleth with you. You are sanctified, he dwelleth with you. And shall be in you. It's talking about when they are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then he will abide with them in a greater measure. He'll dwell with them in a greater measure. As you want to experience then the presence of the Lord, you want to make sure in your life, I'm saved, praise the Lord. Move on. I'm sanctified. Praise the Lord. Move on. And then I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Move on. You come into the service of the Lord. The Lord tells us very clearly as we live in obedience to the Lord. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 23. Here it says in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. As you put all things together, you then understand that as you serve the Lord, as you obey the Lord, as you follow the Lord in all righteousness, the Son is in you. And the Father comes to make abode with you. And the Holy Ghost also dwells in you. And so as we look at these three men, you must have that background. You cannot just say, I will do like they have done. No, you cannot if you are not born again. I'm going to live a victorious life, a triumphant life, and a righteous life that these men were reading about. It begins with salvation. Without salvation, it's impossible. You'll just have the desire, you'll have the intention, you'll have the goal or the dream or whatever, but you'll not be able to accept. You are saved and you have the presence of God with you. And it's easy to be saved. Recognize you're a sinner. Recognize you cannot save yourself. Recognize that Jesus saves. And then you repent. You repent of your sin by sorrowing for sin. Not sorrow because you're poor, sorrow because there's no food, sorrow because there's no this or that. Sorrow because you have offended the Lord. And that sorrow of heart will drive you to your knees. And then you pray to the Lord, you get saved. And the Spirit of God will bear witness with your heart that now you're a child of God. As we look at these three men, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, we look at three things. Number one, the dominion through faith. Dominion through faith. Number two, the decree of faith. And then number three, the departure by faith or departing in faith. We come to number one, dominion through faith. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 11 and we're reading from verse 20. Hebrews 11, we're looking at verse 20. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And then it says concerning things to come. You realize that actually Esau was the first of the twins. That is, Esau was the elder. Esau was the older one. But as you look at this, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed, who is the first one here? Jacob, the younger, and Esau, the older, concerning things to come. And as you go back to the record in Genesis, let's look at Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, you'll see that Isaac was a man of faith. Isaac was a man who knew the Lord. You remember when his father Abraham was called to sacrifice and was told to offer Isaac, there was no resistance on the side of Isaac because Isaac was submissive. Isaac was totally given and consecrated unto the Lord. Whatever was the will of God, that he would cooperate with his father, it was going to be done. And eventually he got married. And when he got married, children did not come immediately. But Isaac prayed unto the Lord. Genesis chapter 25. Reading from verse 20. Genesis chapter 25, verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And it goes on to say, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children, then it goes on how the children struggled, and the Lord revealed unto the mother Rebekah that the older will serve the younger. And eventually, as days went by, we see the condition of the children. Let's look at verse 28. It says, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, of the food he prepared. And Rebekah loved Jacob because of the prophecy that had gone on before they even grew as old as they became later. Look at verse 29, talking about these two, about Isaac, about Jacob, and about Esau. It tells us in verse 29, and Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said unto Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Edom means red. And he himself, the color of his skin, because he was an airy man, was like red. And now he wanted the blessing of Abraham. A little and what this birthright due to me. He despised the birthright. The birthright gave him the chance, the opportunity to have the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of the firstborn. But he despised that. And Jacob said, swear to me this name. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. He didn't know that that transaction had made him to lose the greatest possession that he had. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now it came to the time when Isaac thought he was going to die. He didn't die at that time, but he thought he was going to die. And because of that, he instructed Esau, that Esau will go and hunt and then bring the kind of food he loves so that he'll eat and then he'll bless him. I want you to notice the passage we read in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 20 that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Not only Jacob, he blessed both of them. We need to realize that. But the real blessing, the important blessing, and the one that will carry on forever, that's what Esau did not have. Let's look at, in the case of Jacob, the blessing that came upon him. We're looking at chapter 27, Genesis chapter. Notice carefully the kind of blessing he got. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou art my very son Esau or not. In verse 22, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He wasn't able to discern. He wasn't able to discover that really it was Jacob. In verse 26, verse 26 of that same chapter 27, and his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelt his smell, the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. The field which the Lord has blessed. The field which the Lord has already blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee and the nations bow down to thee. Let be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down unto thee. Cursed be everyone that cursed thee. That's the blessing of Abraham being transferred unto Jacob. And that's why eventually you have the name of God in the Bible, God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And that carries on all through the Old Testament from this time and until the time of the New Testament. It says, cursed be he that will curse thee. And then it says, and blessed be he that blesses thee. And so that was the blessing God gave to Jacob through Isaac. In the case of Esau, eventually he was also blessed because he came later and then he cried and said, oh my father, do you have just one blessing? Bless me also. Chapter 27 verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, shall thou the blessing to Jacob. He lifted Jacob above him because now he submitted to the will of God. Originally, his flesh was going to have the better part of him. His affection was going to have the better part of him. The natural tie between him and Esau was going to dictate what he will do. But now that he realized that Jacob had come, and actually it's been ordained by God, and actually it's been prophesied, and Rebekah had said it before, and also Esau had sold his birthright, and so truly and really everything belonged to Jacob now. He submitted to that. That's why this is the dominion of faith. Flesh submitting to the spirit. The will of God overriding, overruling the will of man. And so he said, that by thy sword thou shalt live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion, when you'll become strong, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. But before we pass on from those two men, that is from Esau and from Jacob, we need to understand when we talk of blessing, because many people do not understand. They say, just bless me. And just like Esau got blessing. He got blessing of material things. In fact, look at what Esau said in Genesis chapter 33. And I'm reading here from verse 9. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother, keep that thou hast unto thyself. Here is when Jacob came back from Laban about more than 20 years later, after the events of chapter 27. And then Jacob was trying to give something to Esau. Esau said, I don't need that. I'm blessed. You are blessed and I'm blessed. Didn't I seek our father, pronounce blessing on me and also pronounce blessing on you? Even though you got the birthright and you got blessing, I am also blessed. He didn't understand. So he said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. I want you to look at those same words. I have enough. Look at verse 11. Take, I pray thee, here is Jacob now speaking, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because, tell me, I have enough. Because I have enough. As you examine the words of those two people, here this one said, I have enough. The other one said, I have enough. You might say, well, in the eventual event, it's like everything then equalized itself. Because Esau said, I have enough. And Jacob said, I have enough. But let's look at the New Testament concerning those two men. And let's understand all the blessings we're talking about. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Thinking about Esau, he didn't have peace with all men. He was an aggressive man, an angry man, a fighting man. He was a man in conflict all the time. And his descendants, if you read in Isaiah, you read Jeremiah, you read Obadiah, you'll find that the Edomites were warlike people. No peace with anyone. And of course, there was no holiness. And if you read Obadiah in particular, where it says on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance and holiness and the people of God. And it says the people of Jacob, they will possess their possession. He had neither peace nor holiness. Look at verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The root of bitterness was in Esau. It was not only for the first year after Jacob took the blessing, even 20 years after, when Jacob sent to him and said, go tell my brother, I am coming. And then he put this one forward, that other one forward. He said, go back and tell him. The root of bitterness was still in him. He's coming with 400 men. And so you see, it's material blessing with bitterness, material blessing with hatred, material blessing with conflict. So just saying, I have enough, my brother. Keep that which you have. It's not enough. Look at verse 16. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. In particular, now he names Esau. He was a profane man, unrighteous man, a defiled man, a rejected man, a man that did not have good relationship with the Lord, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. He couldn't repent. He was sorrowful. He cried, which tells us that crying is not necessarily repentance. He was crying not because he played the fool, not because he sold his birthright, not because he did what was wrong, but he was crying because of the consequence of his sin. It's just like the people who are sorrowful because they were caught. They were caught in evil. They were caught in sin. And because of the public shame, that's what brings the sorrow and the crying. That's the case of Esau. And then he goes on to say, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And so, as we read about Esau, and it says, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. You might just say, well, even though he lost the birthright, at least he was blessed. What kind of blessing is that? Let's look at the case of Jacob now, how Jacob was blessed. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we're reading here from verse 11. Here are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody knows who is in heaven or who is in hell, Jesus knows. If anybody knows who is the kingdom of God, who is the kingdom of heaven, Jesus knew and Jesus knows. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Here Jesus confirmed Abraham is in heaven, Isaac is in heaven, and Jacob too is in heaven. So we're talking about, yes, I have enough materially, enough spiritually, not just material things, but with the spiritual blessing as well. In Luke chapter 1, talking about Jacob and talking about the blessing that Jacob had. Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 31. It says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of who? Of Jacob forever. And it says, he goes on to say, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Again, he tells us that with the blessing of Abraham that Jacob got, he also got this privilege of the kingdom of God. We're looking at chapter 13 of Luke. Luke chapter 13. I'm reading here from verse 28. Luke 13, verse 28. It says in verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who go to the other side, the place of darkness, hellfire, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And so we learn that in the case of Jacob, he had the spiritual blessings with it. How do you summarize that? We can say it this way, that Esau had earthly blessings only, material things only. You know what the Bible says? If only in this life we have hope in Christ, will be of all men the most miserable. If all we have are material things, I'm blessed also. I have enough also. I have enough blocks, enough mortar, and enough sand and cement. I have enough paper, currency. If that's all you have, you'll be of all men the most miserable. You'll just be like Esau. He had earthly blessings only. But in the case of Jacob, he had earthly and heavenly blessings. And that should be your goal. I pray that will be your goal. Earthly blessings on the one hand, as well as heavenly blessings. Let's put it another way. As you look at Esau, he had substance, tangible things, touchable things, material things, substance. He had what you call success. That's why he said, Jacob, keep what you have. I don't need anything from you. I'm successful. I'm as successful as you are. You had number one, substance. You had number two, success. You had number three, sufficiency. I have enough. And Jacob said the same thing. He said, no, you must get this from me. You have substance. I have substance. You have success. I have success. You have sufficiency. I have sufficiency. Let's go beyond that. In the case of Jacob, he had substance and salvation. Substance and salvation. The hope of heaven. That's what he had. When he said, I have enough. is rightly related with the Lord. Can you say that with all the material things you have, are you like Jacob? You have substance, you have salvation, the hope of heaven. Number two, he too had success. You cannot say that only Esau was successful. Esau said, I have success. And Jacob said, I have that too. But he had success and sanctification. You remember when he was praying and the angel said, let me go. And then he said, no, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he touched him and transformed him. And it was never the same. His work became different, transformed, even from that day, because he had success and sanctification. Salvation gave him hope for heaven. Sanctification gave him holiness for heaven. That's what Jacob had. But think about Jacob. He had sufficiency too. That's why he said, I have enough. But not only sufficiency, he had sufficiency and spirituality. Spirituality. The Spirit of God abode with him. Can you say that in your life? Or are you just going about with the blessing of Esau? I have substance. What else? I have success. What else? And then I have sufficiency. Go beyond that. How about salvation? That's what qualifies you for heaven. Because no matter what you have, the Lord Jesus Christ said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? I pray you'll not miss heaven. I said, I pray you'll not miss heaven. We're coming to point number two now, is the decree of faith. We're coming to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're looking at verse 21. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm reading from verse 21. In verse 21, it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. You remember that Joseph had gone to Egypt because his brother sold him to Egypt. And eventually the Lord told Jacob he could go to Egypt and see his son Joseph. He didn't believe originally, but when he saw the caravan and the wagons and everything that Joseph sent, his soul revived. He said, let me go and see him before I die. And eventually he settled in a good part of Egypt. And when it came to the time he was going to die, he then called Joseph that he should bring the two sons who was going to bless those two sons. And so it says, by faith. He did it by faith. He blessed them by faith. We're looking at the story in Genesis chapter 48, and I'm reading from verse 5. Genesis chapter 48, we're reading from verse 5. In verse 5, it tells us about how Jacob blessed Manasseh and Ephraim, because those are the names of the two sons of Jacob. Chapter 48, reading from verse 5. In verse 5 it says, and now the two sons of the two sons Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Now it came to the time I was going to bless them. And remember, if you don't know, I'll tell you that Manasseh was older and Ephraim was the younger son. And so Joseph understood is that the right hand will convey the greater blessing and the left hand will convey the lesser blessing. And so he so arranged that Ephraim will be on the father's left hand and Manasseh, the firstborn, will be on the father's right hand. But when these children, these two sons, were brought unto Jacob, see what Jacob did. I'm reading from verse 13. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim on his right hand towards Israel, so Jacob's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand. And he brought them near unto him. And Israel, that's Jacob, stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh, said, guiding his hands wittingly. guiding his sons wisely, guiding his hands in a way that the Almighty directed him. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, and the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, both of them, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Multitude in the midst of the earth. Again, please understand, these are earthly blessings. Earthly blessings. A father cannot convey salvation on his child. Parents cannot confer sanctification on their children. And parents cannot confer spiritual blessings, just earthly blessings. It says, in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it upon from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, the younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. Again, there's still earthly blessings. And so you find here how Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. And let's clear something up. Number one, parental blessing. Parental blessing. What's parental blessing able to do? It's able to give us earthly things, able to open up doors of opportunities for us. But whether we enter into those doors of opportunities will not depend upon us. A parent can bless a child. The Lord bless you. The Lord prosper you. The Lord open doors before you. The Lord make you great. But then, if the child is lazy, if the child is laid back, if the child is not going to take the opportunity, if the child is not going to be up and doing, how will the blessing come? And so let's look at chapter 49 verse 22. And Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the Almighty God of Jacob. For thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven. Now he's talking about the blessings of heaven and the blessings on the earth, blessings of the deep that lies under, and blessings of the breast and of the womb, talking about children, and the blessings of thy father has prevailed above the blessing of my progenitors unto the uttermost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. But as we think about those parental blessings, we must think of personal boundary or bounty. Personal boundary. That is, you as a person, after you have received the blessing from a father, from a mother, or from the parents, you can set boundaries on that, or you can make it bountiful, that what your parents have wished and prayed and conferred, you then follow through and follow up. Let me explain by looking at this Ephraim. Because we see that Jacob pronounced the blessing on Ephraim. the greater blessing, more than Manasseh. Let's look at the little tribe of Ephraim. We're looking at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, I'm reading from verse 65. Psalm 78, verse 65. Then the Lord awake as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouted by reason of wine, and he smote his enemies in the hinder parts, and he put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim. He chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. You see that Ephraim did not follow through. Ephraim did not put himself in the way of spiritual blessing. And so, for parents just say, God bless you, my daughter. God bless you, my son. That's good. That's great. That's what the parents can do. But then, you either set a boundary on that blessing, or you make it a bountiful, a personal boundary or bounty. I'm looking at chapter 28 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28, and let us see what Ephraim made of the blessing, the parental blessing that God made Jacob to pronounce on him. And so what will become eventually will depend on how you respond, how you react to the blessing the Lord is pronouncing through our parents. It says in Isaiah chapter 28 verse 1, what to the crown of pride and to the drunkards of Ephraim. Woe to the crown of pride and to the drunkards of Ephraim. That means that Ephraim, instead of living a sober life and connecting with God, knowing the God of his father and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he didn't take to the spiritual side. He took to drunkenness and pride. Look at verse 3. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. That means the blessing did not abide because you set the personal boundary. The promises are there. The blessings are there. They are pronounced on the children. But now, where do you stand? How do you stand? Do you follow it up with something spiritual, or do you go the wrong direction? Jeremiah chapter 7. In Jeremiah chapter 7, we're looking at Ephraim that Jacob pronounced the blessing on. He set the boundary. He limited himself. He didn't follow up and follow through on the blessing. In Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 13, and now because ye have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spake unto you rising up early and speaking, but ye had not, and I called you, and ye answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you, and to your fathers, as I have done unto Shiloh, I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Cast them out, because they didn't follow through. I'm just helping you to understand. There are times there are people that will see some men of God on the street, and they'll say, bless me, bless me. Are you saved? Bless me. Are you born again? Bless me. Are you repenting of your sin? Bless me. Are you going to walk in righteousness? Just bless me. Are you up and doing? Just bless me. Or are you lazy? Are you indolent? Do you seize opportunities? Are you going to follow through after bless me? Bless me. You must follow up. You must follow through. If the blessing is going to be a part of your life, I pray God will give us wisdom in Jesus' name. We're looking at Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7. What are you doing about this April? That that Jacob blessed, he didn't follow through. He set the boundaries. He limited himself because he didn't go the spiritual way. He almost became like Esau himself. Hosea chapter 7 verse 8. Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. That is, he just lived an indulgent life, a careless life. a pleasure-seeking life. It's a cake and not on. He makes himself among the people. Strangers have devoured his strength. And he knows it not. Ye gray hairs, old age, symbols, marks are here and there upon him, upon Ephraim. Yet he knows not. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. And they do not return to the Lord their God, and nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly doe without heart. And they call to Egypt, and they go to Assyria. And so you find that Ephraim actually did not put himself in the way of the blessing of God. Chapter 8 of Hosea, verse 11. Because Ephraim has made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. He didn't depart from sin, which means then, with all the blessings we're receiving, we must make sure that for those blessings to abide and for those blessings to remain, we quit sinning, we repent from sin, we turn away from sin, we turn to the Lord, and then the blessings of the Lord, both earthly and heavenly, both material and spiritual, be ours. Look at what it says about Ephraim in verse 12. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. The Lord spoke to this Ephraim and the whole tribe of Ephraim, but instead of following after the way of the Lord, they followed after sin, and they counted the blessings of God as a strange thing. I pray that as the blessings of God are coming, we ourselves will put ourselves in a way to receive those blessings. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're looking at verse 22. We now come to Joseph. It says, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bone. I'm sure you remember the life of Joseph. Joseph was the one that knew the Lord from the age of 17 as a teenager. And since that time, he kept on following after the Lord. The Lord revealed himself more and more unto that Joseph, gave him dreams, and then he told the dreams to his brothers. And those brothers hated him for that. They sold him into a foreign land, into a heathen land. For many years he was surrounded by idol worshippers. He was surrounded by sinners and wicked people. He had no contact with a single true believer for those many years in Egypt, and he had no fellowship or spiritual encouragement. And yet there's no where I went to school, or where I happen to be living, or where I got a job. Look at Joseph. Joseph was able to keep the faith in spite of all those circumstances. The people that surround me, idol worshippers, they're wicked people, they're licentious people, and they're immoral people. That's no excuse. The same thing happened to Joseph, and yet he followed after the Lord. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. And the word from the Lord sustained him. All those years, he was faithful to God. He resisted temptation, and he was patient under his afflictions, and he witnessed to others concerning the love of God and the power of God. He overcame evil with good, all because he had faith in God. The initial loneliness he experienced in Egypt and the prosperity he got in the house of Potiphar did not blow him. Is God on higher things than the perishing bubbles of Egypt? And eventually, when he was going to die, he still remembered the blessing of the Lord. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 15 and see where he said what Hebrews chapter 11 verse 22 has quoted. We're looking at Genesis chapter 15. And we're reading from verse 24 and verse 25. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, I'm dying. God will surely visit you. That's faith talking. That's the language of faith. The Lord had said he will visit the children of Israel. And Joseph, when he was dying, he said, God will surely definitely visit you. That's number one. Number two, he'll bring you out of this land unto the land, which is where? Unto Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. He said, number two, the Lord will bring you out. You're not going to be in Egypt forever. Number three, it's because of God's faithfulness. He swore unto Abraham. And it says in verse 25, and Jacob took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. He didn't count delay as denial. That is, that the promise God had made to the children of Israel that they'll get out of that land and go to the land of promise, it had been delayed because the time according to God's timetable had not yet arrived. He didn't count that as denial. He said, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. He said, although the promise of entering the promised land will be after my death, my bones will not sleep here perpetually. My bones will not remain here perpetually, but you'll carry my bones with you. Let's look at those things that he said. He said, number one, God will surely visit you. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. God will surely visit you. And we look at chapter 3, verse 16. Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, and I have surely visited you. That's what God told Moses. I have surely visited you. That's when the time of their deliverance from Egypt arrived. The second thing Joseph said is that he'll bring you out of this place. Look at verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of Canaan, and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. You'll see that he saw the promise. He had seen the promise because God spoke to Abraham that that's what he will do. He believed that because he knew God was faithful. How did he know about the faithfulness of God? He said, God swear unto you. In Hebrews chapter 6, the swearing of the Lord unto Abraham. And see what the Lord is saying. And this is the confidence that that Joseph had. The land of which is war unto you. In chapter 6, reading from verse 13. Hebrews chapter 6, reading from verse 13. Here it says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing, surely blessing, I will bless thee and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the mutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in the which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And that is what Joseph understood. It's impossible for God to lie. God is a faithful God. He has sworn to Abraham that he will surely visit him and visit his descendants and send them out of Egypt and to the land of promise. That's the confidence you ought to have today, that God cannot lie. The promises he has made that he will save, he'll fulfill that promise. That he will sanctify, he will fulfill that promise. And that he'll give us the power of the Holy Ghost so that we'll serve God and serve God effectively. He will fulfill the promise in Jesus' name. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23, let us lay hold fast. Let us hold fast. Hold fast. Don't hold the promise of God without loosening. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. And then he said, Joseph said something, you'll carry my bones out of this place. And look at, this is beautiful. Even though eventually Joseph died, and then even before Moses was born, Joseph had died, and eventually Moses became the leader of the children of Israel. But what had been said before Moses was born and before Moses became the leader is still carried out. Let's look at Exodus chapter 13. What a great lesson for us. Maybe those of us who are preaching today, the apostles had died before we came on board. But the apostles had gotten the word from the Lord, and they laid everything down, and they said, this is what to do. And we're not called to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We'll not say, those saints that the word of God was delivered into their hands, they have all gone. They have died. We are the leaders now. We are the people in place, in position. And therefore, we'll not carry out that word. But Moses, he carried out the word. When Joseph said, you will not leave my bones here. God will visit you. And at that time, when God visits you, he'll bring you out of this land, unto the land that he swore unto Abraham. Exodus chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 17. The faithfulness of the men that followed after, teaching us that we should be faithful to all that God has given us through our leaders, will be faithful in Jesus' name. Exodus 13, verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up an ass out of the land of Egypt. Listen to this. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. As I said, Joseph was already gone, died. That's why the bones were taken. That's why you have just his bones and not himself. But the faithfulness of the people, that if you are appointed to be a pastor somewhere, a leader somewhere, a teacher of the word of God somewhere, even though that Joseph is no more there, even though the leader is no more there, that you are still faithful, that you'll not say, well, I'm the one here, I'm the one in church, I'll do whatever I want, whatever seems right to me. I don't see the point of taking Joseph's bones. That's what he desired, that's what he said, but you personal problem after all, so that's not my path. But Moses did not say that. And all these little things and big things, they show how faithful we are. I pray you remain faithful. Give me a good amen over there. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had strictly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away, hence with you. As we conclude the study tonight, let's look at this oath that is sworn unto our father Abraham, and what God said he was going to do. We're looking at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. I pray you will have that visitation. Divine visitation in your life, where all the blessings of God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where they come upon you, upon your soul, upon your spirit, upon your body, upon your family, upon the work of your hand, that by the grace of God, you'll have substance, you'll have salvation. You will have also, you will have success, and you'll have sanctification. You'll have sufficiency. The sufficiency of the Lord will be upon your life in Jesus' name. And you'll have spirituality as well in Jesus' name. You are blessed, you'll be blessed. Your blessing will not be like that of Esau. It will be like that of Jacob, like that of Isaac, and like that of Joseph in Jesus' name. This year will be the best year you have ever lived in your life. As live blessing and spiritual blessing upon your life in Jesus' name. And the strength and the power to rise up and take your opportunity, because doors will open before you. And then you will go in. You will not say, well, I've been blessed already. I've been blessed. You are blessed. You will not be lazy. You are blessed. You will not be idle. You will move forth and move on. And by the grace of God, the abundance of the Lord will be upon your life in Jesus' name. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up an horn of salvation unto us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which has been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. Enemies will not hinder you. Enemies will not stop your journey. You'll be stronger than your enemies in Jesus' name. And from the hands of all that hate us, the people that hate you, they will not limit your blessing to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which is swear unto Abraham, our father, that he will grant unto us, he'll grant you, that we've been delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. You'll serve without fear. No fear of Satan. No fear of wicked people. Because all the weapons that are leveled against you shall come to naught. You'll serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of your life. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. A new visitation is starting tonight. Divine visitation upon your life, and all the abundance of earth and heaven will come your way in Jesus' name. Believe, you will see the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're reading from verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, we're looking at verse 23. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let's hold fast the profession of our faith. Doubt might come, say no to doubt. Unbelief might come, you say no to unbelief. Hold fast. All the promises of God will be fulfilled in your life. Then it says, hold fast without wavering, for he is faithful who has promised. Our God is faithful. You will not be denied. You will not be disappointed. The blessings of God will be yes and amen upon your life. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. We've seen the life of Isaac, the life of Jacob, and the life of Joseph. We've seen the faith of Isaac, and the faith of Jacob, and the faith of Joseph. They had faith when they were still alive. They were saved. They had faith when they were still alive. They were able to consecrate their lives to the Lord. They had faith when they were still alive, saved and sanctified. They had faith when they were still alive, spiritual. You tell the Lord, oh Lord, I want an all-around faith. Not just to be blessed like Esau. I don't want the blessings of Esau. the limitation of Esau. I don't want, I have enough like Esau. I want to have enough for the body and for the soul. Enough for the family and for my spirit. Enough for earth and enough for heaven. I want to have the hope of heaven. I want to have the holiness for heaven. And I want to have heaven at last. Heaven at last. I want to be there. I want to live there. I want to have all the blessings of God. I want to be saved. I want to be sanctified. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet I want to have enough substance. I want to have enough success. I want to have the sufficiency. I want to have everything combined together. Earthly blessings, heavenly blessings, material blessings, spiritual blessings. And hold on faithfully unto the very end. He has promised he cannot fail. He has promised he will not fail. This year will be a great year of blessedness and glory upon your life.